I'm very happy to have the chance to talk here about our latest research on collective motion or on networks in motion. This work was supported by several agencies and also the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. First, I give you an extremely brief video introduction to the field itself and show you some of the simplest examples for collective motion. And maybe it's not so easy to guess what is this about. It looks like fish schooling, but these are bacteria. One of the points in this research is to show that some of the motion patterns are universal. These are Mormon crickets, which do this once a year, move in huge masses, just migrate to a new field. There I have thousands of examples for all sorts of collective motion. Here, more for similar units. So this is for the last 10 years. A lot of studies were made. This is not a movie. It's just I was just trying to collect some of the examples for all sorts of motion. This is a these are golden rays, and they swim together in a quite orderly fashion. So this is an example for orderly collective motion. Now I move to further examples involving circular motion. There are again a lot of examples for this. This is again our bacteria, but this time showing this form of collective behavior or collective motion, they circle. Okay, I'm not sure you can guess what this is, but this is an example from the world of molecules. These are macromolecules, and they behave almost like bacteria. So now we are spanning over a lot of, a lot of entities from molecules up to animals. But if you take a little dish and put nails or little rods in it, and you shake this assembly of little rods, they also start to move collectively. So this is a very general phenomenon. And it looks like vertices, like, and this took about 10 years to describe, and now we are trying to move further and consider systems where the units, individual units, have very different features. They move together, but they interact differently among other, and I will show you three recent studies. Two of them is not published yet. Where we consider different entities. And the first is how cells of different kinds, we mix two kinds of cells, segregate during the experiment. And we are looking for the effect of collective motion, that the cells also have a tendency to move together, have a persistence in motion, and we would like to understand whether this plays a role in embryological development, which takes place. For example, a zebra fish develops from zero, from the egg, to a state when it can start its own life in 3 days. So that things have to happen very quickly. So we mix the cells. They adhere to each other specifically. And these were the cells we studied and mixed. Some of them moves very quickly, some other ones don't move so quickly, and they each prefer to adhere to their own kind. So this is a fish, keratocyte taken from a live fish. This is a so-called cell line. We also studied what is the effect on the motion of the density. And it's surprising that if they are individually present, they move much less collectively. I mean, they are much less in a much less persistent way. Somehow density makes them move together. Now this is the core experiment, where here the cells are already stained, and we let them from a random initial state in an experiment, I mean this is not simulation, to move around, and they build a very nice structure, and that is on the scale of the eye of a zebrafish embryo. So one spot here is on the scale of a and if you mix different cells which don't, which are not so dissimilar, you also get structure, but it is not so well developed. This is the second topic I discuss, and it involves the collective flight of pigeons. Sorry, I have to go back. I touched here something. Okay, so we put little 16-gram devices on the back of pigeons in a little backpack, and on for a whole group of them, and let them do what they like to do. They like to fly together. So this is a real video. Later I will show you animations of real data. It will look like simulation, but it will be real data, which we read out from the GPS devices which are in the backpacks of the pigeons. So I show this just very briefly, that there is a way to analyze who follows whom in such a flock of birds. And it comes out from the maximum of the correlation, the velocity correlation. They tend to follow each other. They're not uniform. They're not equal. They are different. Some of them are older, better navigators, and they also know about this about themselves. You see this in the visualization. So we can build a hierarchy within a group. This is a leader. It's another leader, but has less number of disciples. And these arrows shows that this bird is a follower of this bird. Okay, so this is the visualization of a real data. This is how they fly home from 20 kilometers. It shows their global trajectory is shown here. And you see that it's a very delicate negotiation kind of behavior. Each of them has its own idea which way to go. It's not very easy to, by the way, navigate. So at this point, for example, they lose the right direction. The yellow, which is a sub-leader, not the real leader, fools them because of some reason. And something. And then this other, the true leader, if you watch the movie, in small steps changes the global the behavior, the consensus about the right direction, and then they go on. This hierarchy, of course, in collective decision making. Is both a new idea on the level of animals and on the quantitative analysis, but we believe that people also do arrive at decisions in a hierarchical manner. So we started to study some details of this hierarchical decision making and took away a couple of birds and replaced them with others, and it turned out that in the new hierarchy preserved the structure of the older hierarchy. So the newcomers just filled in the role of the... So the hierarchy, if it is there, it is very stable. Okay, this is just a visual demonstration of how it looks if you have 30 birds. And here they are just, this is called the free flight, not homing flight, and they are just, around the loft, they do this very complex. Again, without drawing these lines, which are a result of taking the quantitative data, you would hardly understand what is going on. because it would be, you know, it's like, so we really needed the data. Now, the last part, how many minutes I have, I didn't check.
8 minutes.
Hey, good. So the last part is about our latest study, and it's about dominance hierarchies in pigeons at home. So, of course, we were interested. We got these questions from the audience that it is known that within a loft there is a pecking order. And what is its relation to the hierarchy when they fly home? The one is related to how you know how strong a bird is. It's about the feeding couple. And it's all automatic. Everything is automatic. You couldn't do this with hand. The white lines show that a bird is within the first circle, and the other bird closest to it, this bird cannot get because of the other bird. So that bird dominates for a short time or for a longer time the bird which cannot get to the cup. So from this, we again can form a hierarchy. And this is a 10-bit pigeons for which we measured the homing flight hierarchy and for which we measured the dominance hierarchy at home. And we did this also for 30 birds. Okay, and there is another kind of hierarchy which must be related to the dominance, but it's the pecking order, which is the origin of this pecking means that you know one bird bites or you know pecks another bird, and this is a movie where the identification of the birds is automatic, but the pecking you see how it chases away the other one and would never let so this is an aggressive one. It turns out that the aggressive ones eat more than, so they can get to the cup. And I'm just waiting for one more event, because this is my movie, last movie, where you will see that they sometimes enter very fierce fights. This is the summary of the two kinds of hierarchies, or three kinds of hierarchies, and it's not an easy plot to understand. So I just tell you the result that pecking order measurements and homing flights feeding measurements, the two hierarchies have strong correlations. But they don't have much to do with the physical strength of, and this is the homing, somewhere is the homing, this is the homing flights, which, so that's the knowledge-based hierarchy. And two kinds, the dominance and the knowledge-based hierarchies in pigeons are not very strongly related. And sometimes not even with people. So this is the last slide I would like to show. So we raise these questions and answer partially these questions. Whether collective cell migration, which builds a network in the petri dish, so it's not the other kind of networks, so it's a geometrical network. Whether it plays an important role during embryonic development, we believe yes, but that's a new point. Do pigeons behave like smart people, that they build hierarchies and they arrive at collective decisions according to their delicate collective actions? And we find that physical dominance at the loft is not related to knowledge-based dominance in pigeons. And with that, I thank you for your attention.